The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The good news of the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Word of God Sunday, and you know, as Catholics, we believe that Jesus is truly present, body, soul, and divinity, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, and that is the center, the source, of the summit of our faith. But sometimes we fail to recognize also how important sacred scripture is. And so today's lesson is to recognize that scripture is truly present. And although Jesus is most truly present in the sacrament, he is truly present. And we can encounter him when we read and pray with the sacred scriptures. And of all the scriptures, I like to emphasize praying with the gospel, but they're all inspired. What does it mean to be inspired? And why do we say that the gospels especially are inspired? I'm going to ask a simple question. How many Gospels are there? Four. Is she right? That's a trick question. There's actually more than four. Hollywood tells us this, right, in their conspiracy theories. But there is the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Peter, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. But in the sacred scriptures, we have preserved four because we've recognized them as inspired. And what does that really mean? More capable theologians will tell you deeply, but here's how I simply explain it. Over the years, using these four gospels, as people prayed with them, especially in the context of the liturgy, they recognized something more than just a human words. They encountered the living and risen Jesus Christ. Maybe not as dramatically as St. Paul encountered him on the road, but Jesus, it is our belief, encounters us, and we can encounter the risen Christ in the praying and reading of sacred scriptures, especially the Gospels. And so these are the ones that the Church has testified to over time, including the early period of the fathers of the Church, that these are the ones that are inspired. And so we come to recognize Jesus in the sacrament, but first we must learn to know him. Not necessarily first, because God works in all directions, but to know him in the Word can often be the way we appreciate him more deeply in the sacrament. Today's gospel, very simple, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but very profound. Matthew makes a point to say that what Jesus is doing is fulfilling all the prophecies that came before him. And the people of Jesus' time had heard about the Messiah who was to come through reading sacred scriptures. But then on the shore of Galilee, something new and different happened. They not only knew about him in their head, were not only longing for him, but they encountered him. They were walking by the Sea of Galilee, and into their lives came Jesus. And Jesus invited them to become disciples. And that encounter with the living Lord was so powerful in their life that they dropped everything they were doing, their jobs, and even their father, and followed Jesus. That's powerful, right? We truly are called to follow Jesus that completely. It might sound like that's not being responsible for our families or to provide a living, but it isn't. When we have the right priority and put God first, all these other things are provided. And we can provide for our family better with God's help. We can love our family better if we love God first and know God's love for us, because it makes us more capable of loving. And so today's gospel is showing how disciples are made. And a disciple is not just somebody who knows about Jesus, but somebody who has encountered him and has changed their life to follow him. And so a disciple of Jesus then learns what the master teaches, tries to imitate the master in daily life, and then becomes a fisher of people. Now, how many fishermen out there? Or fisherwomen? Oh, there's some. Praise the Lord. But if it was Father Paul walking by, Jesus could have said, I'm going to make you an engineer for people. If it was Father Victor, I'm going to make you a chemist for people. Perhaps you, an artist, a parent, a teacher, a businessman. Everything we do, whatever it is in our life, our skills and our talents are best and meant by God to be oriented for the kingdom. And when we do that, we are being a disciple. We encounter Jesus, we shape and change our life, we follow him and use our gifts and talents to serve his mission and kingdom. My job as a pastor is to help make disciples and to help us have a vision to share in what Jesus has called us to do, to become fishers of people. And so today, I'm joined by our parish council. And Sue Crane is here, one of the members of our council, as are others. She will introduce them, I think, to share about our pastoral plan and our parish vision.
Thank you, Father. Yes, I am Sue Crane, and I am a member of the OLG Parish Council. I think the only other one we have here is Miguel, who's going to be clicking slides for me in just a couple minutes. So we did, over the last several months, we've been creating a pastoral plan, working with Father Paul, and creating a pastoral plan for the next 3 years. The effort started about a year ago when you all filled out surveys here in Mass and then also online at home. We consulted a group called Renewal International. It's a leading Catholic company that provides parishes with tools and programs to help transform the parish. We utilized the Be My Witness Parish and Pastoral Planning Program, and that's where those surveys came out of. The response rate on the surveys was great. Typically, you see maybe 20 to 30% on these surveys, but we had about 50% on ours, replies, including our young adults and our teens even. It was a great response. So the five areas that the surveys covered were Sunday matters, welcome matters, belonging matters, witness matters, and mission matters. After the survey was taken, a team of about 20 people was formed from the parish council, the parish and school staff, and key parish leaders. Our objective was to take the feedback from the survey and develop a 3-year plan for the parish. The team utilized a program for Renew International to help develop this plan, and one of the key aspects of the plan was to create a vision statement first upfront for the parish. So the one that we developed was this parish vision statement. Our Lady Guadalupe, building a welcoming community in Christ through faith, love, and service. We seek to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word, provide opportunities to encounter the living Christ. We seek to become disciples of Jesus and invite others to discipleship through prayer, study of Scripture, teachings, and mutual support within faith communities, to make His kingdom known beyond our walls, especially by prayer, witness, charity, and justice work. That's our vision statement that you'll see and hear over the next year and is tied to the pastoral plan for the parish. We've developed a 3-year plan, a copy of which is in your pews that you can look over. But today we're focusing on sharing the objectives that the team prioritized for 2020, the first year. We did a few immediate things, such as the Songboard Navy system. We're looking to enhance the experience at Mass, as Bobby Lynn detailed before Mass, by installing the AV system. This will help facilitate those who would like to participate more in the Mass. You may have recently seen Father Paul use the screen as well in his homilies earlier this year. The projector and screen that we have up there right now are concepts that we're testing and we'd love to hear feedback on it. We'll be looking at other options as well very soon, but we hope to be implementing this, like I said, essentially immediately. The next area is greeters and ushers. We're seeking more ushers and greeters for every Mass. It would be a lovely thing to be greeted as we come in the door. In a broader version of that, we're forming what we're calling the Welcome Committee that will be focusing at looking at ways to make OLG more welcoming to visitors and new parishioners, more outreach even, more beyond just at our doors. The Martha Ministry is cleanliness. This is whether it keeps keeping the missals and songbooks organized in the pews or making sure the bathrooms are clean and stocked with supplies. Part of the experience of attending Mass is making sure the church is hospitably clean. We will seek ways to make this happen in a more consistent manner. Young adult group, having this vibrant and engaged, these young adults in the range of 20 to 35 years of age in our parish is critical. We've reestablished this group this past November and are looking to grow it. More will be coming out of this year. Public relations, director of communications and databases. We'll be working, revamping all aspects in how we are communicating with our parishioners. This will include items like updating the OLG website and a new parishioner database. New missals and hymnals. We'll be looking at options to purchase new materials for celebrating the Mass. These are the items that we'll be working on all this year. So it's a doable list, and we have already begun making some progress. Having just celebrated this new year, though, some of you may have made some resolutions to volunteer and be of service to others. We're looking to take advantage of that. We have lots of ways for you to do that. If you are looking to help us in working on any of these objectives, in the pews we've got contact forms that you can complete and return to the volunteers. I and Miguel will be standing in the back of the church after Mass. And we would love for you to just jot down your name and your phone number so that we can contact you. You can also visit the OLG website and complete the form there. I want to just point out on the form There are just very, very minimal bullets on there, and they basically cover the things that I just mentioned, the welcome ministry, the Martha ministry, and communication, but there's also anything else that you might want to become involved in. We'll take all comers. There are, in those things, those are the major committees that we would like to bring on board and work more than just the sub-bullets underneath, but if there's only just one little thing that you want to do, please just check that as well. I think that's it. I think that we look forward to hearing from you and having as many people volunteer with us as much as possible. It's a great opportunity to do exactly as Father said in the homily about living our faith. So, thank you very much.
And everyone who fills out a contact card will be contacted. We can just kind of talk more. So fill one out if you want to help, be involved. And you can turn them in the back of the church. And also Miguel and Sue will be in the back of the church after Mass if you want to talk more and ask questions or make more suggestions. I also just want to emphasize one other thing. That what she talked about was just the first year. We've really got bigger plans, but we've got to start somewhere. And these are the quickest, easiest things to do starting with. But next year and the year beyond, I see us doing many more things. Many people ask for more ministries, more small groups. We're creating small groups in the coming years to develop our faith, to become better disciples of Jesus. We're going to be welcoming parishioners and engaging all parishioners to hear what your needs are, what your skills are, and try to match the needs with the skills and develop more ministries and give people the opportunity to serve. We're also going to form committees and go outside our church walls and be involved in the neighborhood and promote charity and justice works. And also one of our goals is to bridge, even though our church and our school are closely united, but we want to continue to build on that relationship, making the church, the school, and our Spanish-speaking community, our three communities, more united. So that's overall our three-year goal. Please take one home if you'd like, or they're available on the internet. Please help us to become fishers of people, disciples of Jesus, a community united in Christ through faith, service, and love.